couldn't live, I had a dish. We drove the children, I had to hate. Hey, welcome back to Haunted Haze. I'm Josh.
I'm Kristen.
And this is episode 23.
Yes, 23.
Yeah, in this episode, we're going to talk about real life tremors.
I don't know why I always feel the need to emphasize what episode number it is, but I'm sorry.
So do you remember the movie Tremors with the giant worms?
Yes, me and my cousin, we used to watch that movie religiously when we were kids. Like, it was our go-to, Tremors and Twister.
Well, apparently, Tremors is actually based on a real-life cryptid in Mongolia.
It also kind of reminds me of, on SpongeBob, do you remember the pink worm thing? I can't remember for the second what it's called, but that scary pink worm that was always chasing them.
Yeah.
This is what this reminds me of.
Yeah, so this thing is pretty terrifying, actually, not to be messed with. So we're going to kind of talk about a little bit of Mongolia, just to give a backstory. We're going to talk about what's been called the Mongolian death worm.
Yes. Just to be honest, immediately, I hate it. I hate worms in general. Like, yeah. Even just, like, worms in the yard outside. Like, when I'm cleaning up the flower bed and I come across a worm, I fucking hate it.
Yeah. Kristen doesn't even like fishing.
No. I can fish as long as I don't bait my own hook or touch the fish.
Okay, so just hold
the pole. And I might not even eat it.
Eat it? Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I know how I got caught and it's just my fault, you know?
Oh, well, fresh fish is, like, the best fish you could eat.
Yeah, so good. I'll never know that probably. But let's talk more about the Mongolian death worm.
Okay, so I'm going to give a little bit of backstory about Mongolia in general.
Okay, yeah, I don't know much about that.
And the Gobi Desert, which is in Mongolia, and this is where the death worm is located.
Okay.
Okay, so the country is often called Land of the Eternal Blue Sky because it receives more than 250 sunny days a year.
Damn.
The endangered two-humped Bactrian camel is native to Mongolia. So that's the camel with two humps that you kind of always see.
Oh, okay.
That one's native and it's endangered. Yeah.
Oh, save the camel. And, like, we're here fucking riding them at the zoo. And that's an endangered animal. Are you kidding me?
Right. They have a festival dedicated to eagle hunting.
Eagle?
Yeah, they hunt eagles.
Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
These people are rough. All right. But this is kind of the reason why. Genghis Khan is Mongolia's founding father.
Okay.
Mongolia is big, but not as big as you think. It could fit the Netherlands and Mongolia 37 times. It's roughly about the same size as Alaska.
Okay.
And it's the world's 18th largest country. Iran is 17th, if that kind of gives you.
Okay, so that's pretty big.
Mongolia is the world's least populated country.
Oh, so it's big, but there's not a lot of people.
Yeah, about 3 million people live in Mongolia.
Oh.
An estimated 25 to 40% of them live as nomadic herders.
Jeez.
Sheep herders, mainly. Mongolia is basically positioned in between Eastern Russia and China.
Okay.
It's the land where dinosaurs once roamed. In the 1920s, fossilized dinosaur remains were found in the Gobi Desert, along with the first dinosaur eggs. Many dinosaur fossils still lie exposed today.
Wow.
The Gobi Desert is also regarded as the world's biggest dinosaur fossil reserve.
Wow, that's really cool.
More than one quarter of the population live as nomads. Mongolia is home to endangered snow leopards. One-third of the world's snow leopards' population live in Mongolia.
That's great.
Also, Mongolians invented ice cream.
I fucking love them.
Right? Okay. So, basically, it was Mongolians, and then the Chinese saw what they were doing and made their own thing. And then that translated all the way to Italy, which kind of becomes the ice cream we know today.
Oh.
But the origins of ice cream, Mongolian horsemen would take frozen meat in their backpacks, and the jolting motion of the frozen guts and intestines would create an ice cream-like substance. Salivating yet?
No.
We thought not. If you believe the Mongolians invented ice cream, the theory is that it then went via China to Italy. In the winter, you'll find street vendors selling ice cream on the street from paper boxes. There's no need for a freezer at negative 30 degrees Celsius, which is negative 22 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's why nobody lives there.
Yeah.
They left that part out of the real estate listing.
Mongolia is home to the world's oldest national park.
Oh.
There are 13 times more horses in Mongolia than humans.
Wow, that's awesome.
The Taki horse from Mongolia is the only wild horse that has never been domesticated and still exists today. So it's the only wild horse in the world. It's never been domesticated.
Fuck yeah. Go that horse.
Sheep outnumber humans 35 to 1, hence they're nomadic herders.
Yeah.
And it's mostly sheep that they're herding. Because they also use the sheep for wool, milk.
Yeah, they probably eat the meat.
Right. The Gobi Desert is the fifth largest desert in the world. It's 0.5 million square miles. It's what is classified as a semi-arid desert, meaning temperatures are fierce during the summer and frigid during the winter.
Wow.
Only about 5% of the Gobi is covered by sand dunes, the rest being mostly just bare rock. It is, however, famous for holding the largest reservoir of dinosaur fossils in the world, particularly dinosaur eggs. It is also part of the Silk Road trade route and is home to the Mazali, the only species of bear to live in a desert, although they are critically endangered, with only about 50 still living in the wild. So they also have an endangered species of bear.
They're like the capital of endangered animals.
The Gobi Desert from Mongolian Gobi means waterless place. It can range in temperature as low as -32.8 degrees Celsius in the winter, which is negative 27 degrees Fahrenheit. Or it can reach as high as 37 degrees Celsius in the summer, which is about 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, so that's not like extremely hot, but that is very cold.
Very, very cold.
And that's
cold.
Like crazy that it has such extremes.
And also, I unfortunately forgot to look up the altitude, but it also seems like if it's a high altitude, 98.6 degrees probably is pretty hot. The Kangwarsin sand dunes are located in the Gobi Desert. There are certain conditions for the sands to produce a roaring or booming sound. Scientists aren't exactly sure, but the sound comes from how the grains move over one another. Their dunes stretch out from around 185 kilometers, which is about 115 miles.
Wow.
So that's also interesting. They have these dunes in the desert part of it.
Yeah.
That make these roaring, booming sounds.
That's pretty terrifying, probably, if you didn't know that already before you went there.
Well, so knowing that, the fact about the horses, the yeah. fact about the snow leopards, the fact about the bear, there's also various lizards and birds that live in that region. So it's not too hard to believe that there might be some crazy death worm that lives yeah. out there, right?
I was thinking about, like, whenever you were describing the extreme climate, what kind of animals could live in, like, the extreme heat and the extreme cold.
Right, yeah. The desert is always an interesting place. I love the yeah. desert. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the actual death worm.
Okay.
So even though some people doubt the existence of the Mongolian death worm, many people in Mongolia do not consider it a mythical creature. They believe it is a real animal that has not been identified yet. Because there are so many different stories from witnesses who swear they have seen the creature in person. These witnesses range from park rangers to police officers to even the Mongolian prime minister.
Wow.
It sounds like a fantastic lethal creature that might be found in 1950s pulp science fiction novel or a sci-fi television movie, but some people believe that a large, deadly worm-like creature called the Mongolian death worm exists in the Gobi Desert. It is said to resemble a large fat worm, up to 1 meter or 3 feet long, and dark red in color. With spike-like projections at both ends, it spends much of its time hidden beneath the desert sand. It can kill in several fearsome ways, including spitting a stream of corrosive venom that is lethal to anything it hits. And if that doesn't do the trick, it is said to be able to electrocute its victims from a distance. Rarely seen and never photographed, it was mentioned in a 1926 book by paleontologist Roy Chapman Andrews, who didn't believe in the animal's existence, but noted that the stories of it circulated in Mongolia were very true.
To be honest, I think that I would just die again if I came across something like that. A 3-foot worm that could electrocute me from a distance.
I think that's the point. Everyone that does come across it dies. Numerous organized expeditions and searches have been made over the years by both independent researchers and in conjunction with television shows. Despite extensive searches, eyewitness interviews, and even setting traps for the beast, all have come back empty-handed.
Wow.
So they actually have never been able to capture this creature. It's just all first-hand accounts. But if it's something that lives in the desert, also this creature only comes out in the summer months, typically June and July is when it comes out. And hibernates for the rest of the year.
So basically when it's hottest.
Also, that's kind of the rainy season for that area. So it probably, who knows what it feeds on? It probably feeds on sheep.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple more facts about the Mongolian death worm.
Really? Let's hear them.
The Mongolian death worm is actually more dangerous than the name suggests. The Mongolian death worm has the ability to kill up close and from a distance. You never want to come across the creature because the chances are slim that you're going to make it out alive. The Mongolian death worm, a.k.a. the intestine worm, this is because of its blood red color and the approximate size of human intestines.
Ugh.
It's like, honestly, it just grosses me out so bad just to even think about it.
So it's not actually as large as, like, the Tremors movies, maybe.
Thing, I think, is way bigger.
Yeah, I think it's huge. But this thing is still big enough to... It's like an eel, maybe. I'm kind of imagining like an eel. This could also be a type of eel, right? It electrocutes people. It spits venom.
Yeah, I mean, there's cobras that spit venom. You're right about the electricity, too. There's lizards that spit
venom.
And, like, but I think of it as fat as, like, a...
Also, if it comes out of a roll of
hot dog... You know whenever you buy, like, a pack of hamburger meat?
Yeah.
And it's in that tube shape?
That's what you're imagining?
Yeah, but, like, 3 feet long.
Wow, dirty girl. All right, continue with your facts.
The Mongolian death worm is a warm-blooded creature in the shape of a... I swear I did not know that this was up next.
That's all right. So funny.
The Mongolian death worm is a warm-blooded creature in the shape of a sausage without any noticeable eyes, nose, or mouth, and it reaches somewhere between 2 and 5 feet long.
See, that's interesting because I've also read other depictions mainly about its mouth, that it has like an open mouth with sharp fang-like rows of teeth, which kind of reminds me of a sea lamprey. Have you ever seen a sea lamprey?
Yeah, I have.
It's kind of like a giant leech.
I think on that River Monsters.
Yeah. So, it also sounds very eel-like still, especially if it's coming out during like the rainy months of the year.
The Mongolian death worm can kill from a distance by spewing a corrosive yellow saliva and generating an electric discharge. However, the simple act of touching the worm can also lead to instant death.
Damn, just by, don't touch me, bitch.
Yeah, I feel that. The Mongolian death worm travels underground and can be spotted by the waves of sand that appear on the surface in the desert when it passes.
Well, that sounds familiar. That's definitely from Tremors.
Yes, I remember. So, like, watching Tremors, and then the first time you go outside and you see those molehills in the backyard.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God, it's real.
Yes! I remember, like, the pathway from the back porch to the swing set had those, and I was like, I remember thinking,
you like trying to pole vault off the ground?
That's it for me in the swing set. Like,
goodbye.
The Mongolian death worm hibernates for 10 months out of the year. It only emerges between the months of June and July, and even then, it prefers to rise on the surface when the ground is wet and rain is falling from the skies. That's kind of what you were saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what makes me kind of believe that it's like kind of maybe some type of eel. Like maybe it hibernates. Because there's certain fish, like the lungfish.
Yeah, they can like,
you know, like they hibernate. Land. Yeah, they and frogs. I mean, they hibernate in the ground until the rainy season comes and then kind of comes out. So doesn't sound crazy to me that this creature's out there.
For sure. Aside from humans, the Mongolian death worm preys on camels. That's wild.
Those Bactrian camels, that's why they're endangered.
It'll leave eggs inside the animal's intestines, which will eventually turn the camel the same shade of red as the creature.
Wow.
Some people believe that before the Mongolian death worm attacks, it will raise half of its body from the sand and inflate until it explodes, which is then a lethal poison is sprayed across its victim.
Oh my God.
I would think if that happened, you would find more evidence.
Yeah.
Like, that you can maybe do some, like, DNA testing on or something. I mean, that's kind of my thought.
Like, that's kind of the whole reason that I kind of read about Mongolia is that, really, it's kind of an isolated
country. Yeah, they're like, who's doing tests like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I feel you.
So, like, there's only one major city in Mongolia, and basically, half of the population live in that city.
Yeah.
And the rest of the population are just nomadic.
Nomads, yeah.
And they live in these kind of teepee, FEMA camp tent looking things. Yeah,
that's weird.
That they call GERS.
I imagine like these the fire festival tents.
Yeah, something like that. So these nomads live in these tents, and they always face their door to the south because of the cold weather.
Oh, yeah.
We'll try to, like, share some of these pictures on
Yeah, because
on social
I'm
media.
Dying to look at some pictures of the desert and everything.
Well, that's the thing. You look at the desert, and you kind of put in context what the desert looks like, how these people live, the animals that are already known to live in that area. The death worm isn't crazy sounding to me.
No, I agree completely. Alright, so as you said, the Mongolian death worm lives in the most sandy, desolate part of the Gobi Desert. Experts claim that the desert is too hot for actual worms to survive, which leads them to believe that the Mongolian death worm is a venomous snake or a legless, burrowing lizard.
That's interesting.
The Mongolian death worm's skin is an exoskeleton which molts every time it becomes injured.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
That's crazy. It sounds very alien.
Yeah. I mean, it could just be like the octopus of the desert.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like octopus, you cannot tell me that the octopus isn't the alien of the sea.
Well, who knows? I mean, if it's some type of reptile or some type of bug, if it has an exoskeleton, there's all kind of crazy bugs. So it's a mix between a lizard, bug, and eel.
Is it possible to have a pet octopus? Because I'm interested.
They're not very friendly.
Oh.
But we need to watch that documentary, My Friend the Octopus.
Yes.
It's like a guy that falls in love with an octopus. That's a whole different topic.
Oh,
let's continue
yes.
on.
Can we watch that tonight? Okay. Where was I? That just really got me on a whole nother wavelength. Although most people claim that the Mongolian death worm does not have a mouth, others argue that the creature does have a mouth and that it's able to open it exceptionally wide and bear its sharp rows of inward pointing teeth.
See?
Terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Ugh. Like, I hate it. It just gives me such anxiety.
What's the thing? It's like researchers, you know, refute all the evidence or whatever evidence there is and kind of deny the existence of this. But the people that live there are adamant about this creature living there.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to lean to the words of the people
who live there.
Experience it every day.
I mean, yeah, and there's not that many of them. So it's like, what do they even have to lie for?
Trying to get the ice cream, Craig.
When the worms are above ground, they are able to move around by rolling or squirming sideways. Hate it. Ugh, yeah. It just grosses me out imagining.
Like a snake.
Russian scientists allegedly uncovered a dead specimen in 1972. But this specimen disappeared and it's rumored to be hidden inside of the basement of a Russian museum.
Of course it is.
And finally, you can tell which side of the Mongolian death worm is the front because it has a tail that is short, but not tapered at the end.
Yeah, I don't plan on getting that close to it, so... It sounds really terrifying, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I would just try to run as fast as I possibly could to get away from it.
I understand, like, the movie Tremors, like, being able to kind of get all their ideas from this creature because... It checks off a lot of scary boxes.
Absolutely. It's really scary. And, like, you have a really good theory about it possibly being, like, an eel or something.
Yeah, if it comes out in, the rainy months. I think of, like, those lungfish. Like, when it rains and they come up out of the mud.
Yeah. Because also, like, if they've never found a dead one. Like, that's always, like, one thing, like, that gets me about Sasquatch. Oh, right. You know, like, you would eventually, you think you would find a dead one. But on an animal like this that's known to burrow in the ground, supposedly, or, you know, like...
Well, yeah, you only have 2 months out of the whole year to even encounter this in a desolate area anyway. So, and then they talk about those bears, and then there's an estimated 50 of them that exist.
Yeah.
50 is not a lot.
For sure.
And that's in the wild. So there might only be 50 of these worms exist.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how long they live? Maybe they live for 100 years and there's only 10 of them. You know, and they breed every 50 years and it takes 50 years to give birth to something.
You're like kind of like the cicadas.
Yeah.
Like 17 years.
There's all kinds of creatures in this world that have like weird cycles and.
Well, my question about the cicadas in particular is I've never known a summer in my life where we didn't have cicadas. So, is there that many different kinds?
I don't know. Or do they, like, alternate?
Yeah. So, it's, like, this year it's the 17-year cicadas. Next year it's the 6-year cicadas.
Yeah,
Next year it's the every 6-month cicada. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, they're creepy creatures also. So, given all that, the Mongolian death worm definitely seems plausible to me.
It's honestly, when we had talked about making this an episode topic... I really thought it was pretty far-fetched.
Right.
And, like, I really didn't give it any credence at all. But I have to say, knowing a little bit more about it, I think that it could really be legit, maybe.
Knowing more about it, for me, this seems like the most realistic cryptid that we've talked about.
Yeah.
Vampires, werewolves,
yeah, it's just witches. Like, it's the one we all don't want to be real because it's nasty and, like,
I guess witches gooey. Aren't a cryptid, but... I don't know, witches are pretty real. But
yeah,
any other cryptid, this thing like, seems to be the most realistic.
I mean, I still have to say the Sasquatch is my favorite cryptid. But, you know.
Yeah.
Team Sass.
All right, well, do you want to have our showdown in trivia?
Yes, this is the week. It's the final draw.
The final game.
Yeah, but whoever wins this one wins the secret prize.
The secret prize.
Yeah. So I guess this is a good time to discuss what we've agreed upon.
Okay. So whoever wins is getting a secret prize, right?
Yes.
And we discussed what the secret prize is going to be. We've been debating. What is it that you're going to want?
Okay. If I win, I get a Pandora bracelet.
Okay. That's
with
sweet.
With a charm or two, you know.
Right on.
And then what do you want if you win?
I don't know. There's so much I want, really. But I've been having my eyes on alien xenomorph figurines. I might pick something like that from like Target or something like that. I'll probably go with that.
Yeah, I have. Whenever we go to Target, we always have to make a stop over there and look at the cool.
Oh yeah, I have a Jason doll right now.
Oh yeah, Maddie got Josh an awesome Jason doll for Father's Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's hanging up. I want to add to it.
So maybe a xenomorph. That's my favorite movie creature. So maybe.
Yeah.
So that's probably mine. So.
Yeah, mine's a little more high end, and I apologize. But hey, if I. I'm so sorry. But the fact is if I win.
You deserve it.
I deserve it because who would have ever thought that I would have won?
Yeah, this is it. So let's get into it.
Absolutely. May the best Hayes win.
All right, so I'll read you your question first.
Okay.
We'll go 1-1.
Yeah.
If there is a, first to seven.
Yeah.
There is redemption, and then if there is a redemption, then it's kind of back and forth, right? First one to get it wrong, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so what 1990 film featuring Lou Diamond Phillips has his character trying to bring the Pentagram Killer to justice?
1990 Pentagram Killer. Gosh dang it, I don't know, but I'm just going to take a wild guess and say Evil Dead.
No, not even in the same ballpark. The First Power.
Damn, I've never even heard of them.
Yeah, I haven't either, so don't feel
bad. Oh, wow. Well, see, babe, we should... If you don't know the answer, should you ask me?
Yeah.
All right. What actress played Tiffany in The Bride of Chucky?
Oh, Lily.
I have a very big smile on my face right now.
Like a creep. Lily Partridge.
Absolutely not. It is Jennifer Tilly.
Jennifer Tilly. Lily Tilly. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, well. Got it wrong.
Yeah, I did get it wrong. I should have known that one.
Oh, well.
What actress plays the main character Susie Banyan in the 2018 Suspiria remake?
Zendaya.
Wrong. Dakota Johnson.
Damn, that's the girl from 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. All right. What Clive Barker movie focuses on monsters who inhabit the underground city of Midian? Clive Barker.
Dark City.
Nightbreed.
Oh.
Where damn. Did, like, why are we all of a sudden in the obscure section? Yeah, we're doing trivia? Bad on this.
The 1972 version of The Last House on the Left was the directional debut for which director?
Carpenter.
No.
Dang it.
Wes Craven.
Dang it. I couldn't even think of Carpenter's other name.
John Carpenter.
John Carpenter. I just thought that it was... that was a good guess, though.
0-0.
God dang it. Oh, my God. Okay. What original Friday the 13th film did Jason get his hockey mask? If you get this wrong.
Part 3.
Yes, that's right. Damn it. I knew you were going to miss the Jason question.
So 1-0. This Twilight Zone-esque Netflix series taps into our collective unease with our modern world and the dangers of advanced technology.
What is Black Mirror?
That is correct.
1-1.
Yeah.
This 1954 film features the prehistoric Gill Man who kidnaps a scientist named Kay and falls in love with her.
The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Correct. 2-1.
What actor plays the character Jim Halsey in the 1986 road movie The Hitcher?
Dick Van Dyke.
No. C. Thomas Hall. Yeah. Or, so, I'm sorry. C. Thomas Howell.
I would have never in a million years guessed that.
All right, so 2-1.
Who directed the 1999 film Sleepy Hollow, which starred Johnny Depp as Ichabod Crane?
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
3-1. What 2016 film is about a deaf writer who gets stalked by a masked killer in an isolated house in the woods.
Hush.
Yes. You fucking got it. Hush. Okay. What is that, 3-2?
Yes. This is really stressing me out, Josh.
You want that Pandora bracelet so bad. All right, here we go.
All right. What substance was used to ink the pages of the Necronomicon?
Human blood.
Correct. God damn it. You're getting, I have to admit, you're getting pretty fucking easy questions. And I'm getting questions even you don't know the answer
well,
to.
Well, I'm sorry, babe. That is just the draw of the cards. We do nothing. We pick these cards.
We're you're simply right. You're right. You're
picking
right.
one each.
All right, go ahead. What's the score?
4-2.
All right.
What European director of the classic 1977 film Suspiria is also known as the Italian Hitchcock?
Does it have anything to do with the Manson murders?
There's no way. What? I have to know who the hell you're even thinking about.
The guy who was married to Sharon Tate or whatever.
Oh.
What, Roman Polanski?
I give you some fucking credit for even remembering that, but it's Dario Argento.
Okay. Fucking fair enough.
4-2.
What holiday theme movie featured a crazed miner in a pickaxe?
My Bloody Valentine 3D.
It's My Bloody Valentine, but yeah, I think that it did come out in 3D.
Right. So 5-2.
I remember going to see that in the movies, and it scared me.
Well, that was the remake.
Oh.
Well, it's very similar, though. It has the guy from Supernatural. Jason Eckert.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jared Padalecki?
No, the other one.
Oh, Dean.
Yeah, whichever. Damien Thorne is the name of the possessed child in what 1976 movie?
The Omen.
Yes.
Yes.
So 5-3.
All right. In the movie Predator, what substance conceals the character Dutch from the creature?
Mud.
You're right, yeah.
6-3.
You would get, like, some of your favorite movies are questions.
I did get Jason and Predator.
Though. Right.
I'm your number one fan. Name that movie.
Swim. It's
No. You're kind of thinking the same. Think Winter. Think Hammer to the Ankles.
Tonya Harding. I don't know. I quit. I give up.
Think, James Dean, or not James Dean. Think writer, Stephen King movie.
Misery.
Yes.
You know writer and Stephen King movie, I immediately go to The Shining.
The Shining, yes. Yes.
For some reason, that's what stuck out to me about The Shining was the fact that he was a writer.
6-4.
All right. The director of Drag Me to Hell is the most famous for what other horror franchise?
The Evil Dead.
Why are you getting all your favorite fucking movie themes?
Look, I will give you a chance, but you have to get, what, you're at 5?
Yeah.
Or 4?
4, I think, maybe.
So you have to get 3 questions in a row right.
Was that just your 7th one?
Yeah, that was my 7th one. I will give you, if you can get all 3 questions in a row right, I will let it continue. Deal?
How about, all right, if I get 3 in a row, we both get a prize.
Fuck it.
You've already won.
If you get 3 in a row, we both get a prize. What 2013 Guillermo del Toro film features a young couple who take in their 2 feral nieces and a supernatural spirit?
Mama.
Fuck yeah. All right, well, that's 1.
Yes. All right.
Ju-on was the inspiration for what American horror film?
The Grudge.
Yep.
Yes!
Damn! Subjects believe that they are part of a study on insomnia and end up being terrorized by Hugh Crane's ghost in what 1990 film? Subjects believe that they are part of a study on insomnia and end up being terrorized by Hugh Crane's ghost in what 1990 film? This is a remake. It has the lady from The Conjuring, and we also has Catherine Zeta-Jones, and we watched it not too long ago.
Is it The House on Haunted Hill?
No.
Damn it.
No. Is that your final answer?
And what's it about?
There's like the house is haunted. She's real shy, like. It's got Owen Wilson in it, and the guy from Taken.
I don't know it. That's okay. I don't know it.
The Haunting.
I don't even remember us watching that recently.
Oh, damn.
I don't know if I did watch that with you, but
That's crazy.
I gave it a good ass run.
That's crazy. Yeah, it went down to the fucking wire.
So, I love you. Good job.
Hey, good job. Cheers.
Yes, hold on.
I guess I'll win the prize this time.
Cheers.
But you know what? That was so fun. We're going to do it again and again. Why not?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I love doing horror shows.
Maybe next time I'll know it's the big dance coming up. And I'll fucking study, okay?
I'll fucking study. You sound like Tenacious D.
I'm getting that Pandora bracelet.
Hey, you deserve it, actually. Well, good job, babe. You definitely took me to the limit on trivia.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun. We'll definitely do it again.
Look, at 10 years of watching scary movies with you, who knew I took in so much information?
Yeah, you actually really surprised me playing trivia. I'm not even gonna lie, man.
Look,
some of those answers you really pulled out of nowhere.
Today, I surprised myself with the Roman Polanski.
Me too. And that wasn't even the right answer, though.
It's like, who would have thought I ever could remember that fucking name? I can't even remember what we did yesterday.
Well, if anyone else would like to maybe ask me a trivia question, we'll keep it honest. We'll keep it fair. I'll make sure that, you know, Kristen, you ask me the question. I won't know what the question is.
For sure.
We won't cheat. So if you would love to send me a horror trivia question, or if you just want to contact us, email us at hauntedhazepodcast@gmail.com.
Or you can send us a message or DM on Facebook and Instagram at Haunted Haze Podcast.
Yes, hit us up there.
And you can check out our Etsy shop, Hippie Haze Studios, on Etsy.
Yeah, like always, it's our one-of-a-kind, unique, hand-painted arts and gifts. We have stash boxes and tie-dye, Scentsy melts.
Yeah.
All kind of cool little knick-knack things that me and Kristen have created. All handmade things.
Yeah, you can also find our Devil's Divine Coffee from Griffith Roasting Company on there. And you can also check out Griffith Roasting Company on Facebook and Instagram at Griffith Roasting Company. And you can check out their e-retail store, griffith-roasting-company.square.site.
Yeah, if you need something to kind of tweak your tolerance, definitely hit up Griffith Roasting Company and get your caffeine fix.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so let's do verses.
Yes, let's get into it. Something that I can't lose.
Yeah, there's no right or wrong to verses, right?
Yeah.
So we got the super-duper secret box. And we shake up the box.
I love it. I love the super-duper secret box. It has such good vibes. And I'm picking because I was the loser today, and I don't like it.
Okay, so like always, we pick out of the super-duper secret box. We have no idea what we're going to pick. And we pick one scary thing against another scary thing, and we decide which one we think is scarier. So this week, what's it going to be?
It is AI versus mind control.
Ooh. So like robots and androids versus like they just control us. That's how I take it, right?
I mean, I take it as like AI versus... So like androids and robots versus like the government mind control type thing, you know?
Yeah, like just brainwashing us. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I see that. Wow, which one's scarier?
I think
the government mind control is scarier.
I agree, because it's like, even if the robots have some kind of control, just knowing that you have control over your mind is like peace whenever you compare it to not having mind control.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I 100% agree.
Yeah.
I'd much rather fight a robot than be told and controlled with what I'm going to do every day.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really terrifying. That reminds me of, like, again, like, not to keep harping on SpongeBob, but...
SpongeBob really shaped your life.
I have to admit, I watched a substantial amount of SpongeBob as a young the preteen.
Okay.
Anyway, SpongeBob was life. So, the episode of SpongeBob where Plankton is in SpongeBob's head and he's like running him like a robot.
Yeah.
That's what I think of also when I think of mind control.
Yeah. I mean, AIs and, you know, like having to fight a being that is trying to destroy us, that could be anything really. Like, I mean, there's bacteria out there that's trying to destroy us, obviously, right?
Also, we're going to post a picture of this whenever we post pictures of Mongolia. It's the Alaskan bullworm in SpongeBob.
You looked it up. Okay.
It's pink and it's a worm. You can't tell me it wasn't inspired by the Mongolian death worm.
Okay, but right now we're trying to discuss AI. You're getting off on a completely different subject.
Okay.
So I guess we're going to go with mind control. Obviously, that's scarier. Who doesn't want complete control of their mind and freedom, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're not saying that the robot takeover is not inevitable and terrifying.
Right, but being controlled by the government or mind control.
It's the mind control. It's losing control that's scary for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think that anybody would disagree.
Yeah.
But if you do disagree...
Send us
an email.
Or DM us on our social media.
Yeah, for sure.
We'd love to hear from you. We also want some more versus suggestions. If you got trivia questions that you want to ask.
Yeah, somebody else needs to take Josh on because, to be honest, he's getting it easy going against me, I think.
You did pretty good, in my opinion.
Hey, I did pretty good, but not like somebody who really knows horror trivia would have.
Fair enough. Well, we'll do it again.
Absolutely.
Well, until next time.
Peace out.
Peace out. Stay haunted.